Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Renee's Book Talk. This is Thursday, June 25th, 2009. I'm your host, Yolanda Renee, coming to you live from central Pennsylvania, where forgiveness is key and love thy neighbor is probably more prevalent than love thyself. Oh dear, shame on me. Got your attention though, didn't I? The show today is all about Janice Taylor, Our Lady of Weight Loss, and her book, All is Forgiven, Move On. So call in with your questions for Janice at 347-215-9536. And remember, if you want to ask a question, hit the 1 key so I see that you're on the switchboard. There's also a click-to-talk function. If you have a microphone for your computer, you can use that. If you're in the chat room, just type in your question, and I'll pass it along to Janice. A slight introduction here for Janice. Actually, it's a pretty fun one. I enjoyed reading this. Weight loss artist Janice Taylor most certainly did not wake up one morning with a smile on her face and enthusiastically say, "Whoopee, I'm fatter than ever. I'll go on a diet. This will be fun." No, she rolled out of bed, pulled up her XXL elastic band pants, and said, "Oh my, even these are tight. I must stop the fat monster from further multiplying before he takes me over entirely." She prayed for guidance. That's when Our Lady of Weight Loss entered the picture. Who is Our Lady? Where did she come from, you ask? Janice wonders as well. Is Our Lady a higher power, the higher self, the good mother that lives within each of us? Or is she just a fig Newton of her wild imagination? Does it really matter? What matters is that instead of eating crazy amounts of fried foods, heavily buttered bread, and chocolate in any form, Janice was able to permanently remove over 50 pounds of excess weight 5 years ago. Butter up your boss, not your role. I exchanged fat for art, she explains. Our Lady guides me and feeds me messages, and I illustrate them. At first, I created the art just for myself. But soon friends and acquaintances wanted to know the secret of my oh-so-fabulous success. Janice's book, All is Forgiven, Move On, Our Lady of Weight Loss's 101 Fat-Burning Steps on Your Journey to Sweltsville, and I can't even say that correctly, but thinness, folks, getting thin, a book you do not want to be without on your journey to self-esteem and size satisfaction. I have the book, and it is fabulous, and I have spent, I won't say how much money, on other diet books, and this is nothing like other diet books. So go to her website. It's www.ourladyofweightloss.com. Janice, welcome to Renee's Book Talk.
Hey, Renee. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
It was fun to hear that introduction.
Oh, it's such a wonderful introduction. I had so much fun when I read it the first time. I couldn't wait to read it on the air.
It brought me back to that day that I woke up fat. I rolled out of bed, literally. It's so funny because I'm generally considered a happy person, but it's true. I didn't wake up and say, "Woohoo, fatter than ever, yay."
Who really does that?
No, quite the opposite, in fact.
Yeah, you kind of get up and think, oh, another day, who
you
cares?
You wake up and you say, oh, no, first on that day when I woke up and I went into the bathroom and I looked in the mirror, I had a whole string of insults to throw at myself before I felt you. I can't believe you're so fat, you're so puffy, you look like Violet from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, one more lifesaver and you're going to explode. I really hit the whole thing.
So you had a good talk with yourself, I take it.
Yeah, well, you know what really happened was is that, and it was the surprise element. Even though I was fatter than ever, I somehow was able to look in the mirror and not see that. However, this particular morning, I was kind of foggy, and when I got up, I went into the shower, took a shower. My usual way of getting out of the shower would be to grab a towel and then my glasses. But on this particular morning, in my confused stayed. I put my glasses on first, and I went to get the towel, and I passed the mirror, and I caught a glimpse of myself, an unexpected glimpse. And there was no denying that my fat roll had grown its own fat roll, and I was just fatter than ever.
The fat roll had grown its own fat roll.
Yeah, it was multiplying. Like, that's why the fat was out of control, and so was I. And I think, you know, when you said that this is really about self-esteem and size satisfaction, it's mm-hmm. really about feeling in control. As badly as I felt about how I looked, I felt even worse that I had betrayed myself and was just out of control.
Yes, I know what you mean there. And control is important to a lot of folks.
For me, if I'm in control around food, which is actually something we, believe it or not, I know you might not agree with me in this moment, but it's something we actually do have control over more than anything else in life.
But we give it up so easily.
We give it up completely. And I tell people, I say, you know, you could go to the best college and get the best degree, and you could be the smartest person, and that doesn't guarantee that you will get the job that you want.
Mm-hmm.
But if you eat healthfully and you eat less and you keep to it, at some point you will lose weight. It's pretty much math.
Yeah, and it's keeping to it. And why do we sabotage ourselves?
That's a very good question. Why do you think? I think it's multi-layered.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, it is because it's just out of habit. And did you know that you cannot change a habit? Habits, you can only create new habits. The old ones don't go away. And that's one of the reasons that people fail.
I never thought of that. I've always heard the old adage, if you do something for 21 days straight, it becomes a habit. But I never thought you can't change.
You can create the new. Mm-mm.
All of that.
They don't go away. They quiet down, but they're still there.
Oh, my goodness. So.
Yeah.
You've always.
You know, when I work with people one-on-one, when I do coaching with people, one of the big things that we do is to work on new habits without even trying to get rid of an old one, because it does not go away. And that's science. That's neuroscience. That's
mm-hmm.
how the brain works. So what happens is if you build new habits, let's say you're eating smaller portions, you're eating at the table, you're under control, you haven't had, you know, everything's just going beautifully, which happens for a lot of us, right? We decide
mm-hmm.
to go on a diet. I hate
right.
that word, but and it's all working. And then it starts, and then something happens, right?
Right.
And whatever, some trigger comes along, and we go off the deep end, you know,
mm-hmm.
head first into the vat of chocolate, and we say to ourselves, oh, see, I knew I couldn't do it. And this, like, tsunami of defeat comes rolling and crashing in. And that's just the old habit got triggered. And that's where the title, All Is Forgiven, Move On, comes from.
It's a wonderful title, and it's
Thank
so
you.
True.
Yeah,
so
because
true.
In that moment, all that, no, you're not a fat pig, no, you're not a weak-willed person, no, there's nothing wrong with you. All that happened was that your old neural pathway or an old habit got triggered. That's all. And now you can forgive it and go back to building your new life.
And that's where sinful feelings come in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really like that chapter. And you have pig crossing in your...
Yeah.
On the page, and
you know,
you
had asked me in an email. All the art is mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I was started making art. That's how I'm a weight loss artist.
I see that now.
Yeah, right. It was like my initial idea was, you know what? I'll eat more healthfully, and I'll follow a food plan of sorts, but I will use this process as inspiration to make art. And I'll make a sexy vegetable collage every week, and I'll see what happens. And at the end of the year, worst case, I won't have lost any weight, but I'll have a whole collection of art that I can show.
Sexy,
and of course,
sexy again, vegetable collage. Go back to the sexy vegetable collage.
Some group asked me once. It was a group, you know, doing a talk, and there was a man in the audience who was giving me a hard time. He says, "What's the sexiest vegetable?" And I said, "Well, cucumber, of course." And that.
Oh, that's okay.
I guess my delivery was good in that moment. Like, you know. I went back to, which is another thing that Our Lady of Weight Loss taught me, is that vegetables are sexy and you can be too. I'd gone to one of those meetings where people obsess about food and weight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the kind of meeting I'm talking about.
Yes,
right?
I do. Yes, I do.
And been there many times. I think it's a good diet plan, and there's a lot to be said that's positive for it. However, I've been there many times, so I was feeling kind of badly about being there again. And when I and looked around the room, and it's just tears were in my eyes, and it came to me, well, Our Lady of Weight Loss came to me and said, "You're an artist, make weight loss an art project." And in that, the point of it is that instead of feeling like something was being taken away from me, like cake, my best friend,
mm-hmm.
I added art to my life. I added making food art about food. I gave myself a gift right away of something that was exciting for me, that kept me connected to. It's kind of like you're building an upward spiral. You need to get a lot of energy, a lot of positive energy going to walk this walk, to lose weight and keep it off.
Yes.
So when I work with people, we use a whole life model, looking at the other areas of your life. Where can you get energy?
So you, this is your life, right? Right now, helping other people.
It is. Actually, I hadn't thought about it that way, but yes, this is my life.
I mean, your bio, it just reads like, my goodness, you're a weight loss consultant. You do wellness courses at different centers across America. Plus, you write all these different blog sites, which I'm assuming is about health and
mm-hmm.
happiness and all
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you're kind of on a quest.
Well, you know, it's funny how one's life unfolds, is that I initially was not on a quest. I didn't wake up that morning and say, I'll go on a quest now, but it revealed itself to me in that it was a natural, organic happening. As like I lost weight, I started to share my story and my art with people. I decided early on, some of my techniques, which are in the book, is a lot of self-hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to study hypnosis and certified a hypnotist to help people with guided visualization, to help them to envision their future. So the big lesson that I learned is that although it's really great to be a small size and it's fun shopping and all those things that you think you want, the big, big prizes at the end of the day, I really like myself. I haven't betrayed myself or stuffed my feelings down. I'm helping myself to move forward in life. And then people from the outside world that I didn't know started to send me emails. And it was that moment that I got that first email from someone I didn't know. And I said, oh, my goodness, I have a responsibility now. I better know what I'm doing.
Well, good for you. I'm glad you did.
Thanks.
But I wanted to get back a little bit to the sinful feelings and why we sabotage ourselves. And a lot of it has to do with what, early programming in life, maybe?
I think a lot of it has to do with the early programming, yes. I think some of it is this crazy agreed-upon reality. If you go to a meeting or you talk to people who have lost weight and gained it and lost it, well, lost it and found it, lost it and found it, they've built this belief system that this is just the way it's going to be. They're not thinking outside the box at all. And it's, yes, yeah, so some of it is habit. Some of it is for real reasons. Sometimes the fat protects us. Some of us are, you know, afraid of our own sexual energy. Some people many people are afraid to be seen. The fat is, it keeps them in some kind of funny way. Because to me, I would think the heavier I am, the more likely you are to see me coming down the road. But in our minds, it works in the opposite way. It hides who we really are. And some people, it's a way of stuffing down feelings.
Yeah. See, yeah. And I liked the it's step 40 in your book,
mm-hmm.
and it says, size matters not. Look at me. Judge me by size, do you? And, of course, that's Yoda from Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But that is so true, because I recall being 12 years old,
mm-hmm.
86 pounds,
mm-hmm.
and 5'4".
Mm-hmm.
And my father told me I was as big as a cow.
You weren't.
No. wasn't anywhere near that size.
I'm calculating that in my head, and I'm thinking, I was like, no, they are big.
I was very thin. I was very, very thin. The only time I put on weight was after I had children. But my father called me, you know, and told me that,
mm-hmm.
and kept reinforcing it.
Mm.
And
oh,
I
now
was
I
on
know
a,
why you like that step 40.
Yeah.
I was on a diet
from age 12, and I wasn't even fat yet.
No, many people, and even though I weighed 112 pounds when I was 8 years old in second grade.
Oh, my.
And so I was chubby. I was chubby because I wasn't, I was big for my age all around.
Mm-hmm.
But I was too heavy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at pictures of how I looked then and in sixth grade, and I was made to feel way bigger than I actually was.
Exactly.
Way bigger than I actually was.
And so many girls today are.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the societal whatever. It's what we do to our own children now.
Well, it's really, we need to really move away from it. So what do you do to move away from it? I think the way you do is you lead by example, and instead of taking things away from people, it would be good to give things to people.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, imagine approaching weight loss from a place of, instead of denial and deprivation, instead of what I'm going to have to give up, imagine if we changed our focus to what we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even mean just getting self-esteem or more energy or health or any of those things.
It's on a more personal level, isn't it?
I think we could get, what are some things we could give ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
I was actually, and I'm happy for people to write to me and tell me one thing you can give yourself every day. And I mean like organic apples. I took a walk this morning to a farmer's market across town. And I thought that was a real gift that I gave myself today, was to take the time to take a really nice long walk and to pick up some organic apples. And so that was, I gave myself a walk, the apples. It was a gift of time. And that's what it felt like to me.
I have a question from the
yeah.
chat room. And it's from S.E. Cox, and she's signed on all the way from England there. She says, I can't seem to lose weight, and I walk everywhere. What's going on there?
Okay, so, I don't know. That's not a whole lot of information, but I would say, what are you eating? People are under the misconception that if they exercise, they can eat more. And unless you're exercising like an athlete, that exercise is just insurance for the bite, lick, or taste of something
mm-hmm.
that you had that day that you don't remember that you had.
Yeah.
So I would say, people, if you really do believe that you have a problem, to go to a doctor and have it checked out, and then really to look at what you're eating.
She says, I do eat bad.
Well, okay. Thank you for being honest. I also heard her say the words, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime someone says, I can't, I encourage them to say, I don't know how. So instead of, I can't lose weight, you could say, I don't know how to lose weight now.
And she does the same thing I think we all do. She says she doesn't eat a lot during the day, but at night.
It's not alone time, you know. If you just looked at it from a point, if you were up, say, just imagine that you were up at the top of the peak on a mountaintop, right, looking down on the world, and she saw herself there, and she was just observing the way she was eating and acting during the day. What changes would she make? If you just look from a place of observation, far away, float high, high, high up, and look down, and see what you're eating, what would you do? You would never let your child or a good friend or a loved one not take care of themselves in that way. So take care of yourself and eat all, you know, healthy foods throughout the day so that at night you're not starving.
Yes.
Pattern.
Yes, and a lot of suggestions come out at eating 5 or 6 small meals a day, which to me that kind of seems like, unless you had that all pre-planned, you're kind of thinking about food all day anyway. So
no, actually, it equals freedom.
Does it?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. I eat all day long. I feel like I eat far more than I did before. I always 98% of the time keep fresh fruits and vegetables in the house, whole grain bread, really healthy food, and it's prepared and sitting there. Once the house is stocked right, and once the food is prepared, I know it becomes a part of just my lifestyle. I don't think about food anymore at all. I think about, do I need to go shopping? Just like I think, I need to pick up laundry detergent. I mean, it's just on the checklist of how I live.
Mm-hmm.
It is not that food obsession is completely gone. Completely gone. And that I think people can relate to, because when people are people who love to eat or people who are dieters or people who have this kind of issue are food obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take care of it and you stock your house and you plan your meals, then you don't have to think about it outside the planning of the meals. It's done. You can move on. There's a lot of other things in life to think about.
Okay. Let's stop here real quick so we can let people in the chat room know and who are listening via the telephone that you're listening to Renee's Book Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Yolanda Renee. And today we're talking with author Janice Taylor, Our Lady of Weight Loss, about her book, All Is Forgiven, Move On. Check out Janice's work at the website, www.ourladyofweightloss.com. And I also want to let you know that Janice is going to give away one of her books. And how to get that book is to sign on either to her website, ourladyofweightloss.com, or to send her an email at janice@ourladyofweightloss.com. The first person to do that, to send her an email and tell her, I heard your interview on Renee's Book Talk, will receive a signed copy of this book, All Is Forgiven, Move On. And it is very inspiring. It opens your eyes to the fact that weight loss has a lot more to do with what you feel inside than the food you're putting in your mouth. So, folks, if you're interested, there's a race now, I can see it, to get to your website or to send you an email. So thanks for that. Is there something you want to add to that, Janice?
No, just make sure you put your address, and even if the first person will get a signed book, and the next 10 will get a signed postcard. I'll pop in the mail. How's that?
That sounds great. Thank you very much for that. So let's get back to the weight loss and how we have a habit of not only sabotaging ourselves, but coming up with all kinds of excuses as to why we can't do it, we aren't going to do it, it's an addiction and we can't break away from it, and so on and so forth. And I did like your chapter on face-to-face with an alien. Alien or addict, you decide.
Well, it feels like when the food calls your name that there's an alien that takes over. And doesn't it? Even though you say I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to have it.
Yes.
You go and have it anyway. You find
yes,
I'm not going to eat it. I'm not going to eat it. Next thing you know, you're covered in crumbs.
And
what
you do the right thing. You have it completely taken out of your house, and someone brings it in and hands it to you.
Well,
that's the worst temptation.
Well, nothing. I would say, well, depending on who it is. Nobody who really knows who would come in my house and do that.
Yeah, but see, you've been at this long enough. You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've also made it pretty public, too. I'm on the radio saying, don't even think about bringing that over here. But I'm also, I say, when they leave, it goes with them. And if they don't take it, you know, whatever's left over for the evening. If they don't take it home, throw it out. I know that it's hard for people to do, but it's either you or the garbage. Not saving anybody. Make sure when you invite people over or even when you go to someone else's house that there are enough things for you to snack on. If you can have a little piece of something, have it. If it's going to trigger you into some crazy, you know, state where the alien completely takes over, be aware.
Right.
I can tell you scientifically what's happening if you'd like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're so programmed by the trigger foods. Each one of us has a different set. But that we get more excited about the thought of eating it, the anticipation of having it, than we actually do the having of it. So what happens in our brain is the anticipatory neurons get set off. You have a really fond association with apple pie. The last time you had it, you were with a friend, and it was just this wonderful experience. So you see apple pie, and even though you're not aware of it, the unconscious mind, the neurons in the brain remembers this happy time with apple pie, and the neurons start popping. It's going on fire. Have it, have it, have it. And then you remember the taste of it. You remember the sensation of it. You remember the sweetness, the tartness, the taste of the crust. And the anticipatory, you're wanting apple pie now? I am. So the anticipatory neurons get set off. And the only way to put them out is to have it. So the only way to not have that happen is to be prepared ahead of time and to realize what's going to really understand what sets you off.
And a lot of times what sets you off can just be simple stress. Start beating yourself up.
That would go back to all forgiven, move on.
Right, right. But then you get into the bad habits and you think,
habit. I wouldn't even say it's bad because it's actually if it relieves stress, that's the other part of it that is useful to remember is that the part of you that feels like the alien, that feels like the crazed person inside is actually doing something, trying to do something kind for you by calming you down. That part of you has your best interest in mind. That part of you wants you to be happy, and that part of you wants you to feel calm and let go of the stress. And that part of you has learned that food is going to be helpful. What that part hasn't received the message that's no longer useful now. That's no longer something that you want it to do.
So that's where the retraining or the new habits come in, where instead of grabbing for the sweet cake, you grab for the apple or the fruit or the vegetable.
You essentially have to work out in your mind ahead of time that, yes, that I'm going to have this. It has to be like a rule that you make for yourself or experiential kind of feeling that, gosh, I would remember what it feels like. How do you feel after you've had the cake?
Mm-hmm.
You feel awful.
Yes, you do.
You beat yourself up mercilessly.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that and have the experience of in your mind ahead of time that you really do prefer feeling good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I've felt badly so much in life that I really get it and embody it, that I would rather be at peace with myself and feel calm, peaceful, and happy than have that cake. The cake does not look like cake to me anymore. It looks like a ball of unhappiness.
I like your other chapter, The Kitchen Friend or Foe, and your suggestion to put a mirror on your refrigerator and be sure to smile at yourself each time you pass it.
Yeah.
Well, I've never tried a mirror. I've tried all other kinds of things, but never a mirror.
Well, I think that you might stop and have a conversation with yourself before you open the refrigerator. You can ask yourself, what am I really looking for? I had signs that I put up on my refrigerator. Because I'm working from home, I would mindlessly go into the kitchen
mm-hmm.
and open cabinets when I'm not hungry, and
mm-hmm.
I put on there, what are you looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking for? You're looking for, not for food, really.
Mm-hmm. No, of course not. You're looking sometimes just simply for someone to talk to, but there's no one around. So
right.
You go
right.
Grab your
food
friend.
Yeah. But I wrote that because I really had such an ambivalence with the kitchen.
I do, too.
I still don't really like to be in there for too very long. Now it's like I could be in there forever because there's really nothing in there that I'm going to get into too much trouble with. And that's another thing I write in the book, because for me that's the number one rule. There's so many triggers out there, so
mm-hmm.
much stimuli, that at least make your home a place where you can relax so that you're not being tempted every minute of the day.
Yes.
But the kitchen, it's like here I am wanting to go in there and I want to cook up healthy meals and stock it with the right stuff. But it's a place that I can get into trouble and eat too much. How do you feel about your kitchen?
I hate my kitchen.
What do you hate about it?
It's a kitchen.
What does that mean?
That means I have to cook.
Oh. Why do you?
And I love to cook.
Oh.
I'm actually a pretty decent cook.
Uh-huh.
But that means eating.
Uh-huh.
And I don't like to eat. Isn't that funny?
And why don't you like to eat?
Well, I do have a lot of allergies. I liked your one of your things is to come up with allergies of why you can't do this and that in the restaurant.
The restaurant does drive me crazy.
But, I do have a lot of allergies. So there's a lot of things I can eat, but believe me, I can get around it all anyway and still make myself overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was younger, I wanted and wished and prayed, for the astronauts way back when they were going up to the moon and they were supposedly, eating these meals in a tube or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying, one day they're going to have food in pill form. All I'll have to do is take a pill and never eat again. I still wish for that.
You do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I guess it would be easier, huh?
It would be a lot easier, I think.
But that's not going to happen.
No, it isn't.
So what else would be a good idea to make friends with the food?
Yeah, and I don't know. Yeah, that's and I like your recipes.
The recipes are great, I have to tell you. They're great, and I'll tell you why they're great. My first book, Our Lady of Weight Loss, Miraculous and Motivational Musings from the Patron Saint of Permanent Fat Removal. All these book titles are so long. It takes
I know.
That book, both book have recipes in it. And the first book, and you can see where I am on my journey. The first book had recipes with white sugar and white flour in it, refined products. And they're still low calorie, and they're okay. You can
mm-hmm.
eat them, and they're fine. But the second book, I decided, I'm going to move away. I'm going to move into a healthier place. And the second book, I went to the New York City Culinary Institute and asked them, someone there to help me to take my recipes and to make sure and to kind of tweak them to be healthier. And someone there worked with me, and it's whole wheat flours in it, and so they're really healthy too. Where the other ones are low calorie
mm-hmm.
and delicious. These are healthy, low calorie, and delicious.
And you have all the nutrition facts right there.
I do, and I did in the first book too, because I didn't think it would be fair to tell people that you really need to know what portion control, what portion sizes are,
mm-hmm.
without giving them the information, or say count your calories and this and that. Can we talk about counting for a minute?
Sure.
People hate to weigh, measure, and count,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to. So just this week I came up with this thought, because I don't know how you can go from being completely out of control to 1,200 to 1,400 calories a day without weighing and measuring it. How do you really know what you're eating?
Exactly.
So I do know that there is another way. The other way would be to eat with awareness, to be mindful, to taste your food, to savor the flavor, to to chew really slowly, to be completely one with the food, like a meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Only eat when you sit down at the table. A whole string of things like that. I don't think we can do it. So I'm saying to people, if you can eat that way and stop when you're sated, do you even know when you're sated?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we eat way past full, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we shovel it in.
Yeah. So if you can be eat with awareness and stop when you're no longer hungry, just when you're sated, and really eat slowly, not in front of the TV, then don't bother weigh and measure and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing you won't be able to do that for quite a while. So go
no,
back weighing and measuring.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, that's why I think why one would want to do that.
So what's your excuse?
I don't have any, but I hear them in everybody. I probably have them, too, and I don't hear them myself. But I hear it when you talk about your kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The hold. I don't. In addition to an excuse to holding on to the idea that the kitchen, you can't, that when you cook, you overeat. There was not having room to explore in that comment. Is this
mm-hmm.
okay that I'm saying this? You don't feel attacked, do you?
No, not at all.
That's sad. When you
I've done all these things in your book. I don't feel attacked at all.
Okay, good. Just when I heard you say that, I said, well, there's no room in the way that we're talking about it to create change. It's holding on to that the kitchen is just this ambivalent place, and that when you go in it, that you can't have difficulty stopping eating, even if it's all healthy foods, and that you would really prefer that there were pills to eat just to get your nutrition so that you didn't have to deal with the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than maybe I could deal with it and maybe I could make friends with the food myself, the kitchen, and I wonder what else this all represents.
Well, see, I look even deeper that it's not just that I don't want to deal with the kitchen and the eating. It's that I don't want to deal with the underlying issues that I'm dealing with or actually
yeah.
not dealing with.
Right, right.
So that kitchen represents that.
Right, right.
There are issues.
So I have to tell you that
yeah.
They're not coming out with a pill for you to eat so you don't have to eat. And whatever your issues, the underlying issues are, will pop up in all kinds of unexpected, unwanted ways. They won't go away just by ignoring them.
They haven't so far.
Yeah,
and
no,
neither,
they won't. It's
and neither has my kitchen, so.
Right, exactly. So that's what I hear. It's as much as I can't, or the excuses, or I'm menopausal, perimenopausal, postmenopausal. I have a thyroid condition. And the thing is all of these things may be based in reality.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a lot of reality to support that notion and idea, but what are you going to do about it? That's my question. Are you
yeah.
going to just throw your hands up in the air and say, oh, well, you still can lose weight. It might be painfully slow. It might not be the way you want it is, but that's another not to be a downer or anything, because I'm really very funny and upbeat person, but that's just life. Get over it. So.
Exactly. Yes, all is forgiven, move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is so true. We're at the almost 45-minute mark, so I did want to do a real quick commercial that I do for every show, and it's about donations that authors can make to a variety of charities. And the first one is Books for Soldiers. And you can go to booksforsoldiers.com, and it explains everything and how you can go about donating your books directly to the service men and women who are deployed now in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever they're deployed. There's a little bit of a process to go through. You have to get approval by sending in information about yourself that has been notarized, because they don't just open that website up to anybody who wants to go in and talk to our serving men and women. And if you don't want to go through all that hassle, you can also go to, say, WilliamDouglasLittle.com. He's an author, and he wrote a book called Mexican Bull Fishing, and it's a very humorous book. It'll make you laugh out loud. And if you want to send something like that to the soldiers, either send order one of his books and keep one for yourself, and he'll donate one to the soldiers, or send them both over. There's also an opportunity to donate your books to the wounded soldier who has come home and is in the hospital, and that's booksforboots.org, O-R-G. So booksforboots.org. And that website will explain again how to go about that. If you don't want to donate a book to the soldiers, you can donate money, and it will help get the families to the bedside of that wounded soldier. There's also another website, and it's called shadowforestauthors.com. And you go there, and you can choose where you want your books to go. They explain how to go about that. They also give you free advertising on their website for your book. So all you have to do is donate one. But there are many places, literacy programs, prisons, any place that you can possibly consider a book would be wanted, they will tell you how to get it there. So those are options for authors to get their books out there in the hands of folks who really need them and who love to read, especially the soldiers. But let's get back to the show. Again, you're listening to Renee's Book Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Yolanda Renee, and today we're talking with author Janice Taylor, Our Lady of Weight Loss, about her book, All Is Forgiven, Move On. Be sure to check out her work at her website, ourladyofweightloss.com, and if you haven't done so yet, send her an email or contact her via her website, ourladyofweightloss.com, or Janice at ourladyofweightloss.com, and tell her you heard her interview on Renee's Book Talk, and you may be the one to win a free copy of her book. So friends, get on that. And if you're calling in and you would like to be heard by Janice or have a question for Janice, the number is 347-215-9536, but you have to hit the one key so I know you're there or I won't see you on the switchboard. The one key is important. And if you've got a question in the chat room, please type it in, and I'll read it for Janice, and we'll continue on with the interview. Thanks again, Janice, for being here. This was a lot of fun. Your book
is great. Thank you. And that's great information that you just gave out.
About the donations?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have met so many wonderful people on here, and I think it's important that in any way, shape, or form that we can give back, we do it. And
mm-hmm.
As authors, what better way than donating our books?
Yeah, I'll send some for sure.
Another title in your book, another chapter, is The Liberation Day, Ride the Freedom Train.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that because that's the one about taking responsibility.
Mm. And what do you think about responsibility?
I think it's the only way to go. If you don't recognize your own responsibility in it, you're never going to achieve what it is you want to do, because everything else, you know, falls into that. The excuses,
mm-hmm.
the addiction, the, oh my goodness, my dad called me a cow when I was 12 years old. I mean, that's all kind of water under the bridge.
It can be useful information, like the why of it, or
exactly.
You know, that you understand your history. It's
mm-hmm.
kind of your narrative.
Exactly.
But what really matters is what are you going to do today?
Exactly.
You know, are you going to you can understand that, you can learn from it, you can see how it comes up, why you don't like cows, but
actually, I think cows are beautiful animals.
No, I know, I'm kidding. That you had this phobia and you didn't know why, but we've uncovered it today. But really, that it's and that's where it becomes, you're right, it's all about the excuses and what you're holding on to, these belief systems that no longer work for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to move on, it's very interesting. It seems a daunting task at first, but once you move on and let go of all the crap and get to the other side, it was like, wow, what a relief. Why didn't I do that a long time ago?
Exactly. And the responsibility about where you're at in your life and who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so many people have so many other people to blame, or that they try to blame.
Oh, we could blame people all day long.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of us do for a long time. And
it could be, it's not even, again, it's like, even let's just say you're right. It is
mm-hmm.
their fault. Okay, what are you going to do now? Does that mean you're going to stay stuck where you are, even though it's so clearly that person's fault? I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
It is their fault. It was hard. And for a lot of people, my goodness, terrible things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life is hard. Life is painful.
But almost every interview I've asked the question, if you could go back and change anything, do you have any regrets, would you do it? And 99.910% of people say, no, I wouldn't change a thing because I am who I am because of what I've been through.
Yeah.
So if you can recognize that about yourself, then you need to recognize the responsibility of where you're at and why you're there.
Yeah.
It's so easy to say sometimes, but then, you know, one day that light bulb does go off.
And the light bulb, you mean that it says, I am responsible for my life?
Well, yeah, when you recognize, because I think a lot of us talk around it.
Well, I think that you don't hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think, and this is that when a person works with someone, one-on-one coaching
mm-hmm.
kind of agreement, you know, contracting agreement, work with someone, however you want to call it. If you're with someone who's a skilled listener and they can really repeat back to you what you just said,
mm-hmm.
it can be very eye-opening because you don't really hear what you're saying.
That's true.
You know, until you hear and experience what you're saying and ask yourself, how do I know that's true?
Mm-hmm.
How do I know that I can't lose weight? How do I know that I'm going to fail again? How do I know that it's really that person's fault?
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself what's stopping me from moving forward. If you don't ask yourself some really powerful questions, you're stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you kind of get comfortable in that rut too.
Yeah, it's, you can almost feel the kind of digging in or into it. It's just what you know.
Okay, we've got someone who says they're going to call in, so I hope that will work for them. Okay, there's also the book, What's Your Ecumenical Eating Style? And you talk about champions, someone who gets back on the wagon after swallowing 53 and a half hot dogs in 12 minutes.
That's right. Well, in this book, I have something called Svelte Talk, which is like Svelte-ville, for those who don't know it, is Svelte is, you know, thin. And so we're all on our journey to Svelte-ville, where we all, the land of happy thinness. And, so imagine a champion is someone who falls off their wagon big time and gets back on anyway. Right? So having 53 and a half hot dogs in 12 minutes. I must have read that in the Coney Island hot dog thing and it stayed with me.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The champion hot dog eater.
Yeah.
Or gosh.
That must be where I, you know, picked up that information. But, you know, it is. It's what is your eating style? Because some of us are unconscious eaters, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, or gulp and go. How many people do that? And can I ask everyone, why are we all in such a big rush? Where are we going?
I don't know. But we always seem to be on the way to somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, I also wanted to touch on the fact that there's been some amusing statements made about you and your work, and you post these on your website and on your book, A Kooky Kind of Genius by the Oprah magazine. And Taylor may seem one French fry short of a Happy Meal, but when you think about what she's saying, it makes sense. The Chicago Daily Herald. How did that make you feel when you read those?
Well, I was thrilled. I agree with them. And I'll take genius in any form. And kooky genius. Well, A, it gave me permission to be kooky.
That's right.
And B, it was from the old magazine,
Yeah.
Who's going to argue that?
Who,
but the
right.
other part I really liked about being a kooky genius is I was like, well, good, because I don't really know anything. I don't remember facts. I write them down and think I'll go look them up again if I need to know, but kooky I am. So I can pull up my kooky genius anytime.
So it's true, any publicity is good publicity, right?
I think those were very great compliments. I am a French fry short of Happy Meal. I am, you know, I think that I'm a, I am, what you see is what you get. I worked in a corporate America for 20 years before I walked out and became a weight loss artist.
Mm-hmm.
And controlled who I am to a certain degree. I mean, I was still me. I was still Cookie. I was still, even when I was heavy. But there are certain social situations and work situations where it's just not appropriate to bring your entire Cookie out.
Yeah.
And so by having it acknowledged in that way by O Magazine and to be said that I'm a Cookie genius, it gave me permission to be. It felt to me it gave me even more permission than I was already giving myself to be kooky.
I think that's awesome. I really do. I mean,
how many people out there are kooky? I'll bet a lot of people can identify with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, be who you are.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of folks are afraid to be, who they are.
Yeah. Well, you know, if everyone else is taken, be yourself.
It's true. I like that.
Well, Oscar Wilde said it, so I have to give credit where credit's due.
That's all right. That's
good. Be yourself.
Good.
Everyone else is already taken.
Well,
so.
We have an international call on, and I've opened the mic. S.E., can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Oh, it's wonderful to hear your voice.
Hey.
Hi,
finally.
What fun.
Oh, finally. It's cost me a bomb, though.
I know. We'll talk quick. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Walsall, near Birmingham.
Isn't that wonderful? Do you have a question for Janice?
I was listening to what she was saying before about the... oh, God, I forgot what I was going to say now. I'm just completely overwhelmed.
I know. We've tried this so many times to get this to work. I'm so glad it did.
Oh. It's okay. Just take in a deep breath and it'll come up.
About the eating 6 or 7 like meals during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't actually have time with the kids and everything, because the thing is with my littlest, my 1-year-old, she has a condition called a growth syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually grows like twice as fast as most children do, and she's hungry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I sit down to have something to eat myself, as soon as she sees the food, she just wants some. So because I have her all day, you know, 7 days a week, I can't eat in front of her. And it's really hard. So that's why I end up going all day without any food.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I like eat in the evening when the kids have gone to bed. And that's when they end up stuffing my face. And it's just so
mm-hmm.
hard. Any advice?
What's that?
Not from what you said already.
She said, is there any advice you can give her?
Well, I do hear you saying that you can't eat in front of her. So I'm wondering if, and how old is she?
She's 15 months. My 4-year-old, she's fine, but the baby, she just wants to eat everything that I have.
Right. Does she nap?
No. I tried to put her down for at least an hour in the afternoon, but she just screams her head off, so I ended up leaving her. But still, she doesn't go to bed till about 8 o'clock anyway.
Uh-huh. I would find some way. First of all, for me, I wouldn't be able to not eat anything all day long and wait till the evening. My blood sugar would be so low, I would turn into a very nasty person.
I surprised myself, actually, that the length of time that I can go without eating anything.
Yeah, and then probably, I'm
going
to guess, too, I'm going to go out on a limb here, that when you do sit down to eat at night, you're probably feeling a bit overwhelmed and frustrated.
Yeah, and tired.
And tired, and probably
and
actually, you could
I
add
can't
a whole
concentrate.
List to that.
I can't concentrate as well because with me doing my writing and things like that, I
right.
try and sit down and concentrate, and I just end up, you know, going, as you said before, walking into the kitchen and just looking in the cupboards and thinking about, oh, can I eat that? You know, how long is that going to take to cook? Oh, I'll just have a packet of crisps instead.
So, you know, I'm thinking that I would actually be thinking about ways that I could get help at home, some relief so that you can get an hour off during the day and go for a walk. I would be looking at ways to find peace in the day. If there's a minute or two that you can sit and meditate and be alone with yourself, I would look at all ways to bring peace into my being and into the house, and then I would concentrate on the food. Because, you see, it's not about the food.
Yeah. I'm wondering if that's why I'm getting so frustrated with the children as well, because I lose my rag very, very quickly, you know what I mean? And I'm wondering if that's down to, you know, not eating enough.
About the food. It's about the whole structure of the life. It's in a certain sense, there's no time for you.
No, definitely not. My
right.
time is in
and
the
that's
evening.
And that, to me, is where's the time for you? Never mind about the food. And this is where people get, you know, there's such this emphasis on food. But that's why I like to work in a whole life model and say, what are the other areas in your life that need to be looked at? So I'm so glad that you called in, and thank you for being so open and honest about it, because there's really so much going on in your life that that you might want to look at and find ways to get support that are not about the food. And that would make dealing with food a whole lot easier, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. Because, I mean, I don't have a support network whatsoever. I mean, my children's dad is a waste of space to start with.
Right.
I can't count on him to give me any respite. I mean, you know, he says he's going to be there and he's not. So, of course, I organise my day and I think, right, well, I'm going to do this today and I can eat today. And, you know, I can cook myself a nice meal. And then I get let down and everything gets, you know, pushed aside for the kids.
Well, I must say, I understand that you have a big challenge in front of you. And I would just encourage you to find, even if it's the smallest space to find calm, even if it's a one moment of sitting alone and having an apple, something healthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If it's just a moment to think.
Is that going to contribute to obviously me not losing weight? Because on the other side of it, I mean, I don't drive and I walk everywhere. But I'm not putting on weight. I've been the same weight since my first child was born.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't lost any weight in any of this time. And I just wavered along, you know, the same kind of weight.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said earlier, that, you know, you're eating all at night, which doesn't really matter. It's what you're eating, and you're making some choices that are probably not beneficial, don't really work well in the losing weight mode. It sounds like it's good that you haven't gained any weight, and that. But again, this is the emphasis is all around the weight, where it's really the calm and the peace and the happiness lies in life, not around the weight loss. To me, is always the second part of it's great. Have a happy life, and then you can let the weight come off organically. It becomes a lot easier to stick to to create a new lifestyle, because that's essentially what we want to do. We want to create a new lifestyle.
Yeah.
That we're creating new habits, new lifestyle. And so if your life is working a little bit more smoothly, it'll be easier for you to do that. So my advice to you is to see if there's some friends or some support group out there or some, I don't know what organizations are near you, to find support somewhere.
Well, it's down to 1 minute.
Thank you, Ava.
So thank you, Essie, for calling in. I appreciate it. I can't believe she actually made it through. She's been trying for so long to get through. Yeah. I want to say thanks, Janice. I told you the hour would go by quickly, and we didn't.
Oh, gosh, it sure did.
Yeah,
thank
and we didn't.
You.
We didn't cover half the questions I had, but I wanted to concentrate more on your book and what you offer folks as in your coaching, your wellness coaching, and that. So
great.
I think that's wonderful. And I would also suggest for you, if you would consider it, maybe doing your own Blog Talk radio show or any radio show. I don't know if you've done them before, but you've got such great advice, and I know you get a great following.
Oh, that's great. Maybe we could talk about that sometime.
Yeah.
Tell me how to do it.
I would be happy to. So, folks, I want to say thank you for showing up tonight or this afternoon, and hopefully tonight we'll replay the show for everyone. I also wanted to say that we're coming up to next week's show, and if you'll do me the honor of tuning in then, We're going to be speaking with S.E. Hawk, the author of Forbidden Love. And as you heard her tonight on the phone, she's going to be calling in from Britain. And she's a horror author, so that'll be a lot of fun. Remember, the shows are archived, so if you came late, you can still hear it in its entirety. And if you have any questions about the show, please send me an email to YolandaRenee@hotmail.com. Thanks, everyone, for being here today, especially Janice. It's been a wonderful discussion. I learned a lot, and I enjoy your book. And it's one book that will stay by my side on my coffee table until I've achieved my weight loss goal.
Thank you.
I hope you have a wonderful day. And like I said, we'll talk because I think you would have a great show on Blog Talk Radio if you decided to do it.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Janice.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.